Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela text 125. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Nirahe Divala Prabhu Najane Rastridine Enakali Aila Godera Bhakta Dane. When Lord Chaitanya finally, Mahaprabhu finally left Alalanath to return to Jagannath Puri, he was overwhelmed both day and night due to separation from Jagannath. His lamentation knew no bounds. During this time, all the devotees from different parts of Bengal, and especially from Navadvip, arrived in Jagannath Puri. Om Janatimaram Dasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurimrutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantitam Adadanas Chinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabip Samandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhamastrayami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. Greetings from Long Island, New York. That's just right east of New York City. Actually, making my yearly visit to my older brother and his family. These classes are always difficult for me because I've just got out of a car. But interesting, because from driving, I was in New Jersey and driving on the Belt Parkway of New, and both places where I grew up, first a place called Bensonhurst and then a place called Canarsie, right on that road. So it was kind of like driving through your past, and it was really, the sentiments were very interesting, because obviously just looking at it, I couldn't identify with that at all. My place of birth, Dehatma Bhute Kunape Tutatuke Sadikalata Dishu, Ijabi, one who considers the body, the self, his place of birth worshipable, and goes to the holy places simply to take bath, but not to get the association of the saints that live there, Sa'eva Gokara. He's no better than an ass or a cow. So I could see, by visually seeing, I mean, it's at so many places. It's right along that highway, you know, where I grew up. I was really meditating on the verse, Pamanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. They were wandering from species of life to species of life, from universe to universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That by the mercy of Guru, the mercy of Krishna, the bhakti lata bhij, that seed of devotional service, that conception in the heart, that transference of faith into your consciousness that makes you trust that by executing Krishna consciousness, by selflessly serving the Supreme Lord and his devotee, that the best result will happen possible. That's the faith. And I was just looking. I don't consider myself anything special. But somehow or other, among all those people as I was passing, this is the south of Brooklyn, high population density, of all those houses and all those places, somehow or other, the seed, I somehow found the seed of devotional service. So few people, a handful of people, got that seed of devotional service. So I started meditating also that how rare a devotee is, one who has actually made this commitment, and how much we should respect those who actually make those commitments, just as mentioned in Upadeshamata, even somebody chants the holy name once. So it was a nice meditation on Prabhupada. I was listening to Prabhupada's tapes, trying to listen to Prabhupada speaking about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it was very, very edifying. And we must increase this faith in the glory of devotional service and the instructions on how to practice it. Our faith is faith in the Shastra. That's what's true. What's true is what is revealed as true, Shabda Brahman. That reality or truth is actually manifest in sound. And when you come in contact with that current of truth and actually are trained in truth and apply that truth, think about that truth, and therefore realize that truth, you develop faith, Shastriya Shraddha, and that's important for our practices, and that's important for us to guide others, because devotional service is faith, and we get it by a transference of faith by those example of this that just came to my mind recently. Of Shastriya Shraddha and how important it is to have faith in the Shastra. One injunction in the Shastra is not to criticize Vaishnavas. There's many things in the Shastra about that. And therefore, one who actually has faith in the Shastra, he is very careful to avoid doing that. And I'm seeing in the modern age, you know, the modern age, it's almost become institutionalized. How carelessly we criticize others and criticize devotees in all sorts of forums without a second thought. And if we do that, what does it mean? It means we don't have faith. We don't have faith in Shastra because we don't really have the knowledge of what it says. And that's so unfortunate. And that's what has to lead. To lead others and to guide others and to have an institution move forward in the right way. The people who lead, they have to have Shastriya Shraddha. They have to know what the truth is and they have to have faith in that truth. Shastriya Shraddha. So, And it's so sad sometimes when you see that this is lacking in a way. Now, I just want to read something that comes to my mind in that regard. This is from Bhakti Sandarbha. I thought about this. And I was thinking about this in Udri, but in Bhakti Sandarbha, it describes a very interesting thing. It describes how the psychology of one changes as a result of committing offenses to Vaishnavas. And we can actually introspect and look at our consciousness to see if the effects of Vaishnava apparat are there. And in fact, even in the Madhurya Kadambini, it mentions that the difference between bhava and prema is in prema, in bhava, there's still lingering effects of Vaishnava apparat. So very, very interesting. First thing is duplicity. Devotee means sarala, straightforward and simple. But offense brings on duplicity. The heart becomes hard and cruel by offense. But still one poses externally as a Vaishnava. Jiva Goswami is talking about that. Lack of faith in Shastra. If you go against Shastra, then that offense gradually covers our faith and we lose trust in it and we lose interest in it and we no longer act by it. And then, of course, attachment. The quality of bhakti. What is bhakti? It's firm faith. And faith and in the Lord, faith in the Supreme Lord, faith in our position as His servant. And what is that faith? Yes, it's a trust in bhakti, but what the trust in bhakti is based on what? Our experience of it. And therefore, when we commit offense, what is offense? Aparad. Appa means distant, rada. It distances us from worship, just like upasana. We worship means upasana. Asana means seat, and upa means near. Appa means distant. Upasana, sitting near. Sitting near is not the God. Sitting near God is not putting a seat near the deities. Upasana means that we're sitting close to God because we're close to Him in consciousness, and therefore He reveals Himself to, or He reveals Himself to us. So, aparad means to distance. And when you distance from God, you distance from worship, you lose your taste for spiritual life. And because of that offense, you develop attachment and absorption in things that cause us to deviate from firm, fixed faith in devotional service. And then what happens? When that attachment develops, then slackness, then one loses interest in devotional practices. And then finally, despite the slackness, despite the lack of attachment, despite the lack of faith, despite the duplicity that's coming, then pride. A devotee is not proud that he's doing great service. Rather, he feels very humble that he's not sufficiently serving his guru and Krishna. But because of offense, one starts to feel that my service is the best. I am the best devotee. I have the best guru. I have the best this. I have the best organization. And that others are just envious. So if these desires are not diminishing, or they're even increasing, despite practice, one has to sincerely introspect to see whether or not it may be the fruit of Vaishnava aparat. So I was passing by and as I was driving here to my brother's house, just seeing the mercy of Prabhupada, and that it's not actually an ordinary thing to come to Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Matihi, to come to the lotus feet of Krishna. Anyway, it's nice. It's my older brother. He's 2 years older than me, and just ironically, for the last 30 years, he's a court officer in the criminal court of New York, which is on Skirmahorn Street, which is the same street that the Brooklyn Temple is on. And I remember only one time he visited me in the temple, and I don't know, somehow my mother sent me something, and it was like one of the few times, I was actually the only time I ever held an initiation ceremony, and somehow it was in a codicil, and it was in the morning, and, you know, I was sitting, and they made this big, blue, beautiful, I've never seen such a garland as that particular function. And I was sitting on the asas and throwing it, and then he came in, and that's what he, to this day, that's what he thinks I do every day somehow, because that's what, just shows you how perception is limited. I read this psychological phenomenon that somehow or other that, you know, there's a small percentage of our the sensual stimulate. Like right now, let's say you're in a room and you see so many things around you, right? But the nature of the senses is your mind can only focus the senses on a limited amount of stimuli. So even though people may be in the same room, they see different things. And therefore, an intelligent person doesn't base his perceptions of things simply on the senses. One man may see one thing, one person may see another thing, but to speak of the false ego and how we're conditioned to react to different circumstances and how we're conditioned to react to different people. We're actually very, very, very limited in that way. Anyway, so... Anyway, I'm here with my brother, his wife, and his two daughters. And I forgot, actually, when I scheduled this, I forgot I had this, so I just kind of left them right now. So let's go on. We're in this tour of South India. This is the Madhya Leela of the Sesha Leela, the end Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes after he took sannyas. And there's these 6 years where he travels in South India to the holy places to deliver the people that go there and to establish the Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta in his discussions with so many various people in South India of so many various convictions. And we saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling, and then he comes down to Puri. He comes back to Puri, where he will spend the next, 18 years of his life in the Ancha Leela in Puri. Actually not, because the Madhya Leela extends a little bit, the first 6 years South India, a little bit in Puri, because at the beginning he's a little bit more social. He's preaching in a different way. The devotees are coming from Bengal, and he's in these ecstatic kirtans at Rathiatra, etc., and graduates gradually in the last 12 years of his life. He goes into a little bit more near Jan Bhajans, a little bit more solitude. Of course, he's always in the Gambira when he comes there. When he comes, that the king Pratapruja, hearing that he's coming, tells Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that the best place for him to stay is in the house of Kashimishra. It's a palace basically near the Jagannath Mandir, and there's a room for him there, the Gambira, where he comes to fulfill the internal reason for his descent. So it's very interesting, though, that when he first comes, and we've seen this, and I'm going to kind of review, is that it's during the Snanyatra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing Jagannath as Krishna. And of course, in the Rathiatra, his mood is to bring that Krishna back to Vrindavan. But he's still, because he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika, that even when he's in Puri, just like when Radharani is in Kurukshetra, there's a hankering to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And sees that that's Krishna and wants to bring him back to Vrindavan. So the Snanyatra, we know that the deities are bathed, they catch a cold, and they disappear. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in separation. And actually, that's what these verses are describing. He becomes overwhelmed day and night, and he left. It's actually on his way back from South India. He first stops at Alalanath or Alanath, because it's the lords of the Alwars. This is in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the predecessors to Ramanuja, were the Alwars. 12 Alwars, great Vaishnavas and different things, and it's their descendants that are worshipping this deity. And we describe that the places in Puri, according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the places in Puri are correspond to Vrindavan, and the this particular deity corresponds to a place called Panta in Braj, and that's the place when Krishna left the Rasa dance, he was hiding from the gopis. And to hide from the gopis, he manifested his forehand form, which did not attract the gopis. And therefore, this shows the superiority of the Swayam Bhagavan form of Krishna. Because that form, the four-handed form of Krishna, the form of majesty and Aishwarya, covers his inner opulence of rasa or relationship. And any time you take a superior position to anyone, unless you have that relationship, but a superior, let's put it this way, a superior position checks rasa. It checks rasa because it limits it to reverence and respect. With a superior person, unless he comes down to that position by his decision, let's say, you know, when you're in a superior position, you're in friendship, parental, all these things are kind of restricted. So it's not as attractive because the inner essence of someone is checked by position. Even in the Prabhupada Leela, I know that many of the devotees had association with Prabhupada basically before he was really the world acharya. He was their Swamiji. He was in 22nd Avenue. And, you know, there's different accounts. Again, different people have different perspectives. So, you know, people who, there's Hari Sari's account, the wonderful diaries he wrote about Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was the world conquering acharya. And then sometimes you find, although that's such a wonderful description, some of the devotees who met Prabhupada in before he was in that position or had that intimate relationship, they even say, well, they read that, but that's not my Prabhupada. And they like their Prabhupada better because they felt it was more intimate. And we see the sweetness of that type of relationship in that famous picture where in the early days where Prabhupada was going to the airport and his disciple, Janaki, I believe it's Jamuna's sister, out of spontaneous devotion, forceful devotion, she grabbed the plane ticket out of Prabhupada's hand. And you see Prabhupada beaming and enjoying so much that spontaneous devotion, that intimate relationship. So anyway, that was the place in Braj when Srimati Radhika came. Then Krishna couldn't hold that position. The intimacy had to come out, and the two-handed form manifested. So very nicely described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in separation because now Jagannath or his Ishtadeva is Lord leaves, and he goes to Alalanath. And when he goes to Alalanath to take shelter of Krishna, the same thing, that four-handed form deity manifests to him, the two-handed sweetness form, and he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he collapses, he falls down, and he melts within the stone. So, such an intimate place, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every year he goes there in the mood of separation. This year when I go to Puri, I will visit that. So, the devotees from Bengal arrive. So this is nice, so nice. Yatra. I always describe when Vidura left home after he was kicked out by Duryodhana. famous verse, at least the one I know, Trey Vratani, Hari Poshanani. He took a vrata only for Krishna. And this is spiritual life. Spiritual life means only for Krishna. And we have times of the day, our sadhana in the morning, sometime only for Krishna. Times of the month, Ekadasi, only for Krishna. Times of the year, Parikram, pilgrimage, yatra, only for Krishna. Times of the life, retired life, only for Krishna. But here, times of the year, so nice, the devotees go only for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here they're seeing he's overwhelmed in separation from Lord Jagannath. So they come. Sabe, Mile, Yukti, Kari, Kirtana, Arambila, Kirtana, Aveshe, Prabhura, Manishtira, Hoila. After due consideration, all the devotees began chanting the holy name congregationally. Lord Chaitanya's mind was thus pacified by the ecstasy of chanting. So they're devotees. And what does devotee mean? It means they want to satisfy the mind of senses of those whom they are devoted to. So they're seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this overwhelming separation from Krishna. So how do they pacify his mind? By kirtan. Because what does kirtan mean? Kirtan means Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Shudapuna Nitya Mukta Bina Binatam Namina. That there's no difference between the name and the possessor of the name. So this is actual real bhajan. That Krishna has appeared in the form of his name. He's directly before the person. And therefore, it's actually so interesting because both of them are chanting. One, we're chanting the name as a call to Krishna because we're in the mood of separation from Krishna, but simultaneously, Krishna has appeared. So within the holy name, the embankment of union and the embankment of separation are there simultaneously. And therefore, I think it's Raghunath Das or Vishwanath, the couplets of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they would chant in union and separation. Hare Krishna, union. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, separation. Hare Rama, union. Rama, Rama, Hare. Or they would chant in a particular mood, Hare Krishna, then Krishna, Krishna. That's the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna, calling his name. Hare, Hare. And that's the mood of Krishna in separation from Radharani. Prabhupada says, being absolute in all circumstances, Lord Chaitanya's person, form, picture, and kirtan are all identical. When I was here, on the way here, I was listening to Prabhupada's tape, and he says this is specifically the difference between us and the impersonalist. When we say Krishna, Prabhupada was saying, we mean Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila. It's all Krishna. The pastimes and activities, it's not mundane, it's all Krishna. Atmaramas, Chamunayo, Nigranant, Abhukrame, I forgot the verse, but Atmaramas, Chamunaye, self-satisfied, Sukadeva Goswami, had nothing to do with this world, but the Leela, the qualities of Krishna, attracted him. Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he was pacified. Previously, he'd been feeling very morose due to separation from Jagannath. The conclusion is that whenever a kirtan of pure devotees take place, the Lord is immediately present by chanting the holy names of the Lord we associate with him personally. Purve yabe prabhu ramanandere nilala nilachale asibare tanve agya dila. Previously, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been touring South India, he had met Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari. At that time, it had been decided that Ramananda Roy would resign from his post as governor and return to Jagannath Puri to live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, very wonderful in that. We have duties according to our desires. We have that's called prescribed duty. A doctor prescribes medicine according to the condition of the patient. So when we have strong attachments and duties, then we have prescriptions where those duties are fulfilled and satisfied, regulated, with the purpose that we can give them up. We can work through those desires and duties and eventually give them up. But when one is purified of those desires, he technically has no duties. And therefore, then he has a choice whether he continues doing that duty for the example of others, because it's the inspiration of Krishna, and the inspiration of Krishna is the inspiration of Krishna to do so. And reading his destiny and the circumstances around him, it's also confirming. Or he can give up that duty. I remember one sannyasi I knew, an Indian sannyasi, who that inspiration somehow came, and he completely left his family, and somehow or other, it was legitimate, because he had actually awakened to that type of platform, and if it hadn't, then he would be neglecting his duty. Anyway, at that time, Ramananda Roy, I mean, you saw when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were embracing his long-lost friends and the discussions they had. And then it was it. Then he understood that his real duty, the eternal relationship, is with Krishna. All others are temporary. So he understood that fully, and he understood that now he was to take full shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're going over the summary, and then upon the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy took leave of the king and returned to Jagannath Puri. After he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much enjoyed talking with him both day and night about Lord Krishna's pastime. When I was listening to the tape, Prabhupada specifically made that point so clearly, that your advancement in Krishna consciousness is your taste for Krishna Katha. And as you're developing that relish, you're advancing in spiritual life. And when you come to the highest platform, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, you can do it day and night, practically without sleeping and eating. And that's what a codicil is. Our sadhana is to practice those who are perfect. So those who are perfected, when it becomes a codicil, bhakti janani, madhava titti, that these days of Lord Hari, like Akadasis, and they give birth to devotion. So what happens is it's just like some mothers may be listening or something, and your child has a birthday, and you become so happy it's the birthday. If you really have that kind of child and that kind of motherly instinct and that type of attachment, and can consider like mother completely attached, the child is just the most beautiful child, and it's the child's birthday, it's a child, the mother may not even eat. So similarly, the great devotees, when it is the day of Lord Hari, they're so excited that they don't even eat, and they just glorify Krishna day and night. So our sadhana, we imitate them to some extent, to the ability that we can. That we restrict our, that we try to get some excitement that it's a codicil, and we try to restrict our material activities and increase our chanting and hearing. After Ramananda Roy's arrival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Kashi Mishra and met Pradyumna Mishra and other devotees at that time. Three personalities, Kamananda Puri, Govinda, and Kashivar, came to see Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath. These personalities, Kamananda Puri, Govinda, and Kashivar, they weren't the disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Govinda was his servant. He was the best servant. In that famous story that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his meal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his prasad and then collapsed in the door of the Gambira, and Govinda was massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's legs after he ate. He was massaging his legs. when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up, he said, how come you haven't eaten? Because Govinda would take the remnants from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, how come you haven't eaten? He said, I didn't want to step over you. And he said, well, you had to step over me to get in the position to massage me. And he said, yes, I can step over you for your service, but for my own personal sense gratification, I cannot commit offense. Plus, if you step over someone, it's a sign of superiority. Just like I explained that if a superior person comes in and you're just sitting down and he's standing up, it's not offering respect. And even in a figuratively way and maybe in a subtle way, if you don't stand up to greet him, it's considered that as that person comes, your life fares will rise. And if you don't stand up, and then you'll lose your life affairs or something like this. But Govinda was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there was a problem because he was the servant of Ishvara Puri. And the servant of the spiritual master is always respected. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a dilemma because he felt, I'm not fit to accept this service. But then, at the same time, Ishvara Puri, recognizing the glorious nature of disciples, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered Govinda to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally had to go to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and gave a very important instruction. He said, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. So nice. Then Brahmananda Bharti comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to see him because there are multi levels of relationship. Only one level of relationship is your seniority in the guru parampara by initiation and spiritual master. But there's other orders of, there's other hierarchy, so to speak, of etiquette, and one is based on spiritual advancement. So it doesn't matter, it may be the disciple of your god brother, but if he becomes the effulgent light, the self-effulgent acharya, or the supreme lord appears in that way, then that superiority of spiritual status and advancement takes precedence. So it's very interesting that Brahmananda, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt in such a perfect way, because Brahmananda Bharati, he wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what? Better I go see him. Go see him. Why? Because he's superior. And the junior should go to the senior. But nonetheless, when he went to see Brahmananda Bharati, who actually was in the Advaita line, as was that line, he was in the Advaita line. So when he came to see Brahmananda Bharati, he saw him wearing a deerskin. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just very interesting, he just looked at it in a way of disapproval. And intelligent people can read minds. What does reading minds mean? You know by how a person acts or a little thing he says or a little motion, you kind of become proficient in understanding how the mind is reflected externally. And then by seeing different external indications, you actually understand what's on the mind. And especially in relationship to a guru, to teacher, to friend, whoever you want to please, then you, pleasing means what? You want to know what their desires are. And those desires may not always be expressed. And therefore, Vaishnava becomes very happy when the desire of the guru is expressed. And why was Rupa Goswami so glorified? Sri Chaitanya Manho Bhishtam, Sahapitam Yena Bhut, Swayam Manho Bhishtam. He knew the mind. He knew the desires. And it's not exactly that it was told. He was just watching in Ratriyatra what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. He wasn't saying directly about Kurukshetra, but knowing him, studying him, studying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood this is what his mind said. So Brahmananda Bharti, he was very acute. He just saw like one glance, one look. He disapproves, and he got rid of it. So it also shows, isn't that beautiful? The Vaishnava relationships, the multi-dimensional levels. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected him as being senior and came to him, but Brahmananda Bharti respected the ontological position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore respected him. So eventually there was a meeting with Swarup Damodar, and I do want to leave some time to say hello and questions, but I was really expecting to speak to Swarup Damodar because he was the most, one of the few most intimate associates. And he was Purushottama Acharya. He grew up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what Chaitanya took sannyas, he found about it, he also went to take sannyas. And again, so interesting, his name was Swarup Damodar. Swarup is the brahmachari assistant or servant of the Tirtha or ashram. There's 10 traditional names of sannyas. And they each have a servant name, just like Puri, the servant name is Bharati, the servant name is Chaitanya. So both Swarup Damodar and Chaitanya, they kept their brahmachari names because in the Mayavadi, the impersonalist line, they believe that the brahmachari takes sannyas, Om Namo Narayan, he becomes the supreme lord. And also for humility, he did not change his name. And he didn't, and Swarup Damodar didn't even accept the saffron cloth because he did not want to be disturbed by the formalities of sannyas. He didn't want to have that to be seen and viewed as the spiritual master of all other orders. Very interesting. Even on that level, he wanted to not relate based on anything external or formal. And what was Swarup Damodar? He was the limit of learned scholarship. He didn't exchange a word with anyone. He was just completely meditating on the philosophy and sentiment of Krishna consciousness. Krishna rasa tattva vesa. He knew the tattva of Krishna root. And he was the personification of that prema or love. And therefore, someone wrote even a verse, a song, a book. They could not read it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without him checking it, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like two things, which would disturb him greatly. He didn't like Bhakti Siddhanta Varudha, conclusions against Bhakti. He could not tolerate conclusions, and similarly thing with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What is it? Namaste Gauravani. What is it? Rupanuga Virudha Pa. Rupanuga Virudha Pa Siddhanta Dvantaharne. He was against Rupanuga Virudha. Virudha means against the conclusions of Rupa Goswami. He couldn't tolerate anything against that conclusion. And this is actually the nature of the devotee. He becomes very disturbed when he sees Bhakti Siddhanta Varudha, that anything's against the conclusions of Bhakti. And that's what a cultured person is. A cultured person is one who becomes disturbed when things are improper. Even when he eats, a cultured person becomes disturbed when it's not proper, a connoisseur like that. But more in terms, especially of conclusions. It's disturbing to them. And also, he didn't like Rasa Bas. He didn't like things. He didn't like Rasa Bas means that for love of Krishna, when you explain something in poetry and literature, and you want to create a certain mood, then there are emotional components that you have to present that will present the mood perfectly. And if one of those components are not proper, then it won't have that same relish, rasa, abhas. It'll be a reflection of that rasa. And Jiva Goswami describes that as when someone cooks sweet rice and you're feeding a connoisseur, it has to be the right thickness of the milk, and the right amount of sugar, not too much, not too little. It cannot be burned. It has to have the right spices, whatever. There's different elements that make perfect kind of sweet rice. But you can see, if you give it to someone who's not a connoisseur, then he doesn't care if he gets the rice floating in like a little, milk with sugar, or if it's rice with paste on it. He's a connoisseur. It won't give the full relish. And to present bhakti, you need poetry. Anyway, I don't have time to present this point now, but my next classes I'll present it because I have to stop now. It's already time. But this was Sri Damodar's exalted position. Sangeet Gandharva's Ashastra. Anyway, exalted position. I'll stop here. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj, I would.
Okay, Gail, go ahead.
Well, I do have to make the difficult decision again, but...
Well, I told you before, you have to contact me, okay. And we just have to have just one session with your questions like we used to do.
Okay. Krishna is his qualities, pastimes. He's non-different from... even his devotees, this. And the way I understand that Krishna is non-different from his devotees is with respect to the fact that his devotees carry his desires, And so maybe in other ways too, but in that way, I guess you can say that Krishna is non-different from his devotees. With respect to his devotees, I have some kind of understanding, but I don't have so much understanding with respect to his pastimes, especially. Is it that they're non-different from him because they're all his internal potency, or what?
It's the same thing. It's the name, the qualities. How do you understand the name is the same thing? Prabhupada always gives the example. It's just ontologically absolute. You can't, Andani yasya sakalendriya vitti manti pasyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti, that his senses are, he can eat with his eye, he sees something, he eats. Hearing, he can see with his ears, he hears something, he actually sees. So there's an absolute nature of the Supreme Lord, and that is just the ontological fact that his name and himself are non-different. That's what it means to be absolute. So if you say Krishna and the name, the pure name of Krishna, that's his name. And his qualities, it's non-different. Everything about Krishna is just like Radharani is Mahabhav Swarup, that she's composed in the most intense love of Krishna. So anything is of the same substance, the intense desire to please Krishna. So there's no difference in that sense. And this is completely the same. It's non-different in every way. Because Krishna, wait a second, Krishna is Advayam Gyan. It means conscious of consciousness of which nothing is separate from. But there are different, but that means objects that are, his direct expansions are non-different from him, his indirect expansions are non-different from him, And even his separated energy is non-different from him because it's composed of him. So there is also a variegation of non-difference. And you know, in Krishna's name and Krishna's devotees, although they're non-different from Krishna, you can't say Krishna's devotees are Krishna. They're an expansion of Krishna, and they're non-different from Krishna in the sense they represent him. And it's described just like Prabhupada gave a simple example of the king and the viceroy. In India, there was someone who represented the king. So he was non-different because he was the carried the same empowerment, and he carried the same desires and the same will, and relating to him was exactly serving the desires of the king with the same power, etc. But it's still not, you can't say that the devotee is Krishna in the same way that the nam is Krishna. It's a different category of sameness. How does that do, Gail?
It's a little more difficult when it comes to the pastimes for me.
The pastimes?
Yeah, is it just because they are composed of his energy also?
It's the same internal potency. Krishna's pastimes are a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna's name is a manifestation of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. Why? And I've experienced this, Gail, to a limited extent when I had that very nice assistant, James.
Yes.
You know, and he came at the same time you joined, when you came to those programs in Rutgers at that same time. And, you know, he was such a good student, and I spoke the first and second cantos to him. And, I would prepare five verses, and he was such a good listener. And I remember when I was presenting the message of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna, and he was listening, I always explained that although it was, you know, it was using the mind and intelligence in Krishna's service, it wasn't just mental or intellectual, it was experiential. You experience Krishna. Krishna manifests there. It's non-different if it's actually his message and presented properly, just as Krishna is there in his name. Gail, I'm just going to have to say, because I have to go... But in a few minutes, but why don't you just send me an email? We can arrange some time. We can just discuss questions like we used to do. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. This is Deva Dasi.
Hi, Bo. Deva. Nice to hear from you. I did get your letter. Didn't have time to respond. I guess I just got it yesterday or something.
Okay.
We'll see you soon, I guess.
I hope.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Shastra Das.
Shastra. Hare Krishna. Nice to hear from you again. We're missing you.
Missing you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, so we will end for today. Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaibhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.